Our scripture today is from Psalm chapter 29. Now, if you would like to follow along, I encourage you to do so in your pew Bible or Bible at home. I'm trying to pull up something here. Okay, there it is. As you're looking for that, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this glorious gift of your word, which you give to us freely and happily. And we pray, Lord, that we receive it in such a way of respect and power, knowing that it comes from you. Open up our hearts and minds that we may get from it what you desire us to, that we may be crafted into your creature and used for your glory. We thank you for all things. And we also pray for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too might be used for your glory. We pray this now and always in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 29, hear now God's word. A psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm going to try and use my education, seminary education, which I paid a lot of money for, and use a word that I learned in seminary, and maybe some of you know the word. It's polemical. Know the word polemical? Have you heard the word polemical at least, or polemical? I don't really, I mean, I had an idea of what it meant, and I know I heard it before. So as I was preparing for the sermon and looking through the commentary, one of the commentaries said that this is a polemical psalm. Now, the word polemical is quite interesting, especially when attributed to the psalm. What polemical means is that it is something, it's an adjective, something that is expressing or constituting a strong critical attack on or, I'm sorry, my commas were in all the wrong places. Expressing or constituting a strong critical attack on or controversial opinion about someone or something. So this particular hymn is categorized as a strong, let me get it right, strong critical attack on something. Now, all through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, there are polemical scriptures and verses all over the place, especially in the first chapter of Genesis. So when you read the chapter of Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, it's the creation story, and God spoke, and so it was, right? So that whole creation story is a critical attack against other creation stories that talk about how the gods fought with one another, how the gods warred with one another, and there was great calamity and great catastrophe. And one of the creation stories of old, I think it's the Babylonian one or the Canaanite one, it's called the Enuma Elish. One of the great goddesses was defeated, and her body was cracked open like a crab, and the top part of the shell was the heavens, and the bottom part of the shell was the earth, and her blood was the water. I mean, grotesque and full of violence. And yet God is so powerful that all God has to do is speak. There's no war. There's no one to fight. No, who could stand up against God? And when we get things like Greek, the story of the Greek gods, one of the great opponents to the Greek god was the Leviathan. So strong was the Leviathan that it took great strength and great power and great sacrifice and a very difficult time to chain the Leviathan. All the gods had a super hard time. And then when you get to Genesis, it just says, and the Leviathan plays in the water, you know, because the Leviathan is like God's pet. There's no problems there. There's no issues. There's no war because God's stronger than everything. And so that was a huge polemical attack, a huge critical attack against the Babylonian gods, the Roman gods, although they weren't quite there at that time, and all the other gods in the world. And this thing does the same thing. Now, when we read it, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Oftentimes, when the hymns are written, they're written to a particular person or to a group of people. Or just they're written out there because the author wrote it down in their diary and they want everyone to read it. Who is this written to, according to the first verse there? Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. That's who it's written to, the heavenly beings. Who are the heavenly beings? Any thoughts? If you're thinking angels, that's what I thought. But we'd be wrong. It's not the angels. Remember, this is a critical attack against a particular group, against something. We know what it is when we keep on reading. What does God sound like when I keep reading this? You ready? Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Now remember, still talking to the heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The Lord's voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, makes Lebanon and Syrian skip or like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. What does the voice of the Lord sound like? A storm, right? We're talking about the thunders, the fires, the winds, the forests, the trees being whirled around, the forest laid bare. God is enthroned above the flood. They're liking God to a storm. And when you see a storm, the power of a storm is just unprecedented. We had a little storm come through here yesterday. The thunder and the lightning, my little dog Goose, who's not all that little, was curled up right next to me shaking, you know, because he hates the storm. I was loving it. I got to see lightning bolts and it was great. Back in Babylonian times, they had a pantheon of gods. And their major god was Baal, B-A-A-L. And Baal was the god of storms. God was the god who brought the rain and the wind, who devastated the forest, who destroyed the crops, but who also grew the crops because you need rain. And Baal was in charge of so much in the Babylonian times. But David says, as polemical, as criticizing against that, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Not the angels, but the gods of that day. Astra, Baal himself, all the other gods that I have no idea who they are. He's saying to them, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, because God's stronger than you. Because it's God who has the glory. It's God who has the splendor. It's God who's over the waters, who glory through the thunder and the mighty waters. It's God who's this great storm, not Baal. My God, David's God, our God, the only God, stronger than all things, stronger than everything. And we sit in a wonderful, unique place as compared to David, where we got to see the life of Jesus Christ, the power and the love and the mercy and the grace of Christ in our lives, the forgiveness, how we get to see the thunder and the lightning and ascribe it to God and know that God is mighty. However, though, I think one of the caricatures of Christianity is that of weakness, of ruling over, and of course Jesus commands us: if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. If someone forces you to go a mile, go another mile. To love one's enemies and to pray for them. Jesus shows us love and what love looks like. Jesus shows us, gives us peace through that love. And as long as it has to do with us, to live at peace with one another. To not stir up the hornet's nest. To help to support our enemies' spirits and their lives, not support what they're doing, but to support them out of love. To help correct as best as we can, but to do it from a viewpoint of love and mercy and grace. And so one of the caricatures is the weak Christian. And sometimes, I will say, there are times in the life of the church that we live into this. Woe is me, the world is falling apart. The world is going to hell in a hand basket. What are we to do? Because no one's doing anything right. Woe is us. And we start complaining about and by complaining, I mean like in a fatalistic way, but our government and our politics, about our schools, about our youth, about our generations, and how it's just, well, back in my day, everything was better. And we just complain in this fatalistic way, like, how can we do this? My dad, and I'm saying this partially to honor him. He had his retirement parties this afternoon. The other church where he serves is throwing it for him. But because the one of the things that he has said, and I don't know. I mean, I have taken the right of a child and have disagreed with my dad on several occasions. Every child is allowed to disagree with their parents. Even if the child's wrong, they can still disagree with their parents. I've done that on several occasions, but my dad has blessed me in many ways. And one of the things that kind of stick in my mind is the story of his ear. Now, I've told you, many of you, about the story of his ear, and I'll give you like the down and dirty, the quick, version. But if you ever see my dad, he's got a big chunk taken out of his ear. Ask him about it. Please ask him about it. That'll make his day. Give yourself an hour, but ask him about it. Because he kept it like that so that people would ask him about it. And no one ever asks him about it because they feel bad. So my dad went hunting one day, and he had a 32 Winchester special with the lever action and the half-cocked safety. So the safety wasn't like a switch on the side. You take the hammer and you pull it halfway back, and that was considered safe. So Dad went out hunting, super cold, wearing his thin leather driving gloves, and his hands got cold. And so there was a log about his knee height, and he brushed the snow off, and he checked the safety, and the safety wasn't on, but nor was the gun cocked either. It was just, you know, the hammer was flat. And he laid the butt of the rifle down on the log, and he reached over the barrel to hold it, and he was getting his thick cotton gloves out of the thing. So the gun slipped down the log and jammed the hammer, which sent the charge off. And since he was facing this way, it went up like this. And lots of blood. Long story short, he thought he was dying and blew back of his head off, but that wasn't the case. All kinds of spiritual and wonderful things happen, an opportunity for testimony. Talk to my dad, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Move on to the hospital. And at the hospital, he still had his black and red checked Woolrich hunting outfit on. And they asked him to take it off, and he took it off, and the inside of the jacket was shredded. And he had all these shirts on. He started taking all the shirts off, and as he was getting lower and lower, there was blood that was showing, and he had a 6-inch bullet burn against his chest. So the bullet had rode up his chest and out the ear. Okay, and so the doctor said, this is the whole point of me bringing up the story. The doctor said, boy, you're lucky, right? And my dad, without even thinking about it, said, luck's not on the throne, God is. And that's the very point of this scripture. As David was writing and looking at all the things that was going around him, surrounded by nations who believed in all these other gods, pressuring him and Israel to do the same, David basically said, Baal's not on the throne, God is. It's not Baal who controls all the storms, all the lightning. It's God who controls all that. In fact, it's Baal who needs to praise God. It's luck who needs to praise God. And the thing is that we do what David was being tempted to do. We look at this world and all its troubles and all its issue and its political rivalries, its wars, its catastrophes, the violence, the schools. We look at all this and we say, woe is me. This is terrible. This is awful. And of course, lives lost, innocent lives and people struggling with addictions, all that is terrible. We move forward with that hope. The truth is that the Republican Party is not on the throne. God is. The Democratic Party is not on the throne. God is. Trump and Biden, no throne. God's on the throne. Cancer, not on the throne. God is. War, not on the throne. God is. Violence and bigotry and racism, sex trafficking, addictions, alcoholism, pornography addiction, eating addictions, not on the throne. God is. We don't serve God who is a weakling. We are not part of a religion. We don't believe in a way that causes weaknesses, but uses weaknesses for strength. My weakness is not on the throne. God is. We, praise God, are not on the throne. God is. We start looking at this world and start beating ourselves up and start thinking, I'm going to be overwhelmed. This is terrible. This is awful. This generation is lost. This generation isn't on the throne. God is. We don't serve a weakling or a coward. We serve someone who's able to use weaklings and cowards for his glory, for the good of others, for to share love and to share grace. Because there's only one who sits on the throne, and it's not Baal, it's not the heavenly beings, it's God and God alone. And I pray that when we start feeling overwhelmed by whatever it might be, poor health, anxiety, depression, addictions, fear, doubt, the way that war and anger and frustration and putting people down seem to be the norm. These things are not on the throne. God is. And that is a rock that we can stand on. A God who lived for us, who died for us, who rose for us, who sits at God's right hand and who prays for us, and who loves us every day. He is on the throne. And we can trust that every moment of every day. And for that, I'm thankful to God who sits on the throne always. When I think about how awesome the Bible is and how the Bible is filled with truth, that psalm that he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. How far is the north from the south? How far is it? I don't know, but they eventually run into each other, don't they? You go north, and you keep on going, and you're going to hit south. But if you go east, you'll never hit west. That's how far Christ has thrown our sins. How far God has forgiven to us. How much power God has. We are forgiven that much. So I leave you with this prayer. Thank you, God, for this new day that you gave us to live in faith. We do not know everything that will come, but you do. So we rest in your care, and we move forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.